I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
How do we rob God or lend to God or buy bread from God? Because all three are related. They're all in the scriptures, and we got to know so that we can do some and avoid others. When a pastor starts talking about giving, there's a good chance that either one, it'll be a veiled attempt to fund some program or project. This is not that at all. Or two, he's going to haul out Malachi chapter 3 and beat you over the head with it. You know? With that said, let's turn to Malachi chapter 3. And who's first? I love this Bible. This is a gift to me, and it was published 1 year before Abraham Lincoln passed away. It's a cool Bible. If you'd like to look at it afterwards, don't steal it. It would kind of defeat the purpose of the message today. Okay, well, we are turning to Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 through 10 in the Old Testament, because it's perfect. It's the classic. Will a man rob God? Asks the Lord. Yet the Lord says, you robbed me. But you ask, how? How do we rob you? He says, in tithes. It's an old-fashioned word. It means tenths. It's slightly easier to say, but not a whole lot. But it means a 10% slice of our life. So it's just a tenth, a tithe. He says in slices that we set aside to honor him by helping each other. That's it. And then he says, and offerings. And you go, okay, I always hear tithes and offerings. What's the difference? Offerings is just above that. It's just, now it's little special gifts. Like if we were funding a project, you say, oh, I want to help with that. That's an offering. That's a gift. Or you come into an inheritance or something. You go, you know, Lord, I just want to give part of this. I want to pay it forward. So tithes and offerings, little slices and gifts. And then this is funny. And see, once you understand what the word means, you get the humor of the line where he says, so bring the whole tenth, the whole slice, bring the whole tenth into the storehouse. That's Old Testament. It's good. New Testament stresses joy and consistency and growth in giving over the Old Testament perfunctory religious percentage, because God loves a what? Cheerful giver. He doesn't want you to just do this and go, oh, now you're happy with me. But we're going to talk about tithe, because tithe means tenth, and it's a great starting point. And there's a lot of scriptures about it. So it's funny, because when we tip, you know, if you tip somebody 10%, be like, what an insult. And then God says, can I have 10%? You go, don't be so greedy, God. That's not mine. A guy named Fred said that between services. I said, I'm stealing that. Okay, but the tithe. Let's say you're in a pizza parlor, okay, and enjoying yourself, and Jesus comes over to your table, and you know him, you know, he's your Lord, and he says, hey, mind if I borrow just a slice? I know a hungry kid. You're going to say no? I mean, my goodness. You're going to say, oh, sure. Wait till we're done, and I'll give you all the leftovers. You can have all the leftovers. Right? Of course you wouldn't. You know, you'd likely offer him everything you had, right? And say something like, have whatever you want. Just take whatever you want. Okay. Let's say you already ate the pizza. And now you're counting your money. You have 10 $10 bills left. And here comes Jesus. And now he's like, hey, I know a mom who could really use a 10 spot. You'd most likely say, you sure that's enough? Right? As opposed to say, don't be a mooch, Jesus. But the question is, how do you live out your faith? Do you live out your faith with a, you sure that's enough? Or do you live out your faith with, don't be a mooch? So, why would his physical presence like that impact our actions so much? Isn't he always with us? Isn't that what we believe? That's enough of that. Bang, bang, bang. Okay, now, let's go to Joseph. We're going to tie this into Joseph because we saw that Joseph gathered so much grain to share, right, to feed the world. We're told it was like the sand of the sea. So I thought that was appropriate. Talk about amber waves of grain. And we also saw the timelines, historical and biblical. They told us, and pretty much everyone agrees, that Sinusret III was the pharaoh of the famine. And then History Channel's drained the oceans. Remember, they recreated and showed us one of Sinusret III's 15 massive, they called them mysterious, even though it's from the time of Joseph, grain forts along the Nile, right? We saw all that. And that's where we're going to pick it up, because now we will see how Joseph gathered up all the money in Egypt and in all the promised land of Canaan, where he'd been sold into Egypt. And so just look at that picture and think of the absurdity of, in his brain right at this moment, imagining that one day he would be taking all the money of every Canaanite and every Egyptian. It's crazy what God will do if we just walk forward in faith. And he brought the money into Pharaoh's house. So when the money failed, when it stopped coming, when it was gone, and they said, give us bread, Joseph said, give your livestock. Very misunderstood motive here. Give your livestock. And so Joseph gave them bread in exchange for the horses, the flocks, the cattle of the herds, and for the donkeys. Do you get what he's doing? He's saving the animals. They'll still keep them. They'll still keep them on the farm, but now Pharaoh will feed them because they're his, and they won't eat them because they don't belong to them, and they have bread. Noah saved two of each. Joseph saved them all. So then the next year, well, they realized what an incredible offer that was. What a deal. The people, not the animals. Actually, both realized. And the people said, buy us. They're excited. Buy us. Give us that deal. And our land. Buy us and our land for bread. And we and our land will be servants of Pharaoh. We'll be royal servants. It's starting to dawn on them what this means. And let's pause, because right here, this has got to go down as the single most incredible justice ever served this side of the cross. Because little Joe just enslaved the entire nation where he was unjustly enslaved, including, of course, the Potiphar plantation. That's just enjoyable. I just want to sit in that for a minute. Even though I know Joseph wasn't doing this, I kind of am. It's kind of fun. I'm not where he was. Okay, now with Joseph being a foreshadow, and such a foreshadow of all things Jesus, as we've talked about, and Jesus being revealed as the living bread, the bread of life, the true bread. Question is, how do we buy it? How do we buy the bread of life from God? You know, Joseph being the big analogy. Well, it turns out, same way. He's the analogy. You buy it the same way. You surrender everything and become the servant. You see, I purposely put that pizza analogy backwards because we think backwards. If you belong to Jesus Christ and you've given him everything. It's Jesus who's sitting at the table offering you the 90% on the plate, right? And if anything, he's saying, mind if I borrow this one slice? You go, you're the one giving me the pizza. I know. But you might, I just want to borrow the one slice, but only with your okay. I know a hungry kid. Same goes for the $10 bill. Same concept. You see, those who don't feel sorry for their sheep, in this case, our fellow sheep. Oh, fellow sheep. Aha, put that on a t-shirt. It's our fellowship. Fellow sheep. yep, it's just like those who don't feel sorry for their sheep sell them and say, praise the Lord, I'm rich. And this is why Jesus says in Revelation, you say, I'm rich. You say, I'm rich. And he warns us, you're not rich. You're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked because you don't feel sorry for the sheep. So I counsel you, Jesus says, to buy from me. See, this is all hearkening back to Joseph. You buy from me. Who is he? I.e., the bread of life. Buy from me so you can become rich. And we're not talking food bread. We're talking Jesus, the living bread, and his word. Because if anyone, and here's where it is, if anyone hears my voice and does what? Opens the door. Please remember that. Opens the door, because later he's going to open the floodgates. So here's my voice and opens the door. I will come in with the food, because I am the food, right? And eat with him or her. I mean, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom that he promised to those who love him? Is why he said, blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. As poor, says Paul, as poor, as having nothing, yet actually possessing everything. So, you who have no money, come, says the Lord. Look at what a wonderfully strange scripture this is. It's pointing to the people who had no money and had to buy bread from Joseph. He says, you who have no money, come to me, says the Lord, buy and eat with what? Yourself and your animals and your farmlands and everything you own. Surrender it all. Why spend money on what is not bread? Because Jesus said, I'm the true bread. So listen to me, says the Lord. Listen to me, because that's how you eat what is good. And your soul will delight in the richest of fare. And who doesn't love fair food? Am I right? Groan. But it's an actual groan. But there's one more thing you gotta give God if you're gonna buy his bread. Give ear, and hear me. That your soul, and it's all for us, that your soul may live. Because he says, as the earth yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word. It's all an analogy, hence the parable of the sower and the seeds. So take my yoke upon you, says Jesus, share my labor of love. Come on, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you will find rest, not for your body, for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Not because it isn't hard or heavy, but because it's inspired and empowered and energized by love. And it makes the hard and heavy easy and light. And taking on, this is good, taking on his yoke. He doesn't say, take it from me. Take mine on you. So it means that to become a servant of Christ, we become a servant with Christ. He's always with us at the pizza table. So however many slices you happen to be sharing, this isn't about, again, a religious perfunctory percentage. However many slices you happen to be sharing, just here's what the message is really about. Just don't be offering the last leftovers. That's it. Instead, choose. Choose to bring the best of the first fruits to the house of the Lord. Instead of the house of Pharaoh, bring to the house of the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved. And now for Joseph's most Christ-like move yet. It is when he enslaves the nation, because he not only saves the nation, he creates a new type of kingdom where everyone's possessions become royal property. And now in this new kingdom, there's no need to fear any more droughts or famines or infestations, because they now serve the king. It's all his stuff, and he takes care of it and care of them. They have a bad year, they're not going to go bankrupt, because they're serving the king. Funny thing, secular historians, they widely agree, and they know that Senusret III became one of Egypt's most powerful pharaohs. And they say it's by establishing this unprecedented direct royal control, you know, of virtually everything, with no record whatsoever of any resistance whatsoever. But how he managed to do it, they say, well, that's another one of those big old mysteries. Even though it was during the time of Joseph. But Joseph knows. Joseph knows exactly how he did it, because Joseph bought all the land of Egypt in exchange for bread. So the land became Pharaoh's. And all the historians, they say it, that that happened, and they scratch their heads. We just don't know how. Then came the big Christ-like reveal when Joseph said to the people, I have bought you and your land this day for Pharaoh. Oh, the vengeance he could wreak. But instead of looking for vengeance, he said, look, here's seed for you. Because you're now royal servants, and you shall sow the now royal land that you're living on. And even though sharecropping has always been, throughout history, basically a 50-50 split between the sower and the landowner, Joseph says, this is a different type of kingdom. You guys are only going to have to give 1/5 to Pharaoh. That's a 20-80 split unheard of. 4/5 shall be your own as seed for the royal field and for your royal food, for those of your royal household, because you're all royalty now. And so they said, you've saved our lives. You have saved our lives. And it's thanks to your one true God that we don't even know. We will gladly be Pharaoh's servants. What a deal. And then, as if that's not good enough, the Lord cut that 80-20 split in half to a 10-90 split with his royal sharecropping servants. But if we're going to buy, and then in the New Testament, of course, he says, even that's out the window. He says, just do, give whatever you can to make it consistent and joyful and grow in it. Because that's the point, is the heart, always the heart, always the heart. But if we're going to buy the bread of life from God by surrendering all, because that's how you buy it, by surrendering all to God, we really got to stop robbing God. How do we rob you, they ask? In tenths, you know, and gifts, they're told. Little slices here and there. But understand, they ask, how do we rob you? Right? And so it's like how a gun is how a mugger robs a person, or a crowbar is how a burglar robs a house. That's how. Okay? Slices of life is how a believer robs God. But don't you want to ask next, what do we rob from God? Now that we know how we do it, what are we robbing from him, because he sure don't need our money, right? He makes it crystal clear he doesn't need anything from us, saying in the psalm something that Joseph could easily have said on Pharaoh's behalf. But God says, I have no needs, you know. I have no need of a bull from your stall, so keep it in your stall. I have no need of goats from your pens, so keep them in your stalls, keep them in your pens, but treat them as though they belong to me. And do with them what you think I would do. Uh-oh. We lost our connection. I might have to go to the hard transcript. Talk amongst yourselves. Okay, oh, it came back on. Thank you. Now we'll just do this for a while. We'll edit this in post. Oh, almost hit it dead on. Wow.
Okay. Huh?
No, purple for the Huskies. Fight amongst yourselves. Okay, here we go. I have no need of a bull from your stall or goats from your pens, so keep them in your stalls and your pens and treat them as they belong to me, okay? And he says, if I were hungry, which he isn't, but if I were hungry, he says, I would not tell you. What are you going to do, give me food? Have you seen my surfing silos? The world is mine, he says. We're just sharing it. The world is mine and all that is in it. We just need to be reminded. And he's telling us that to say, because I created it. It's mine. I created it and I love to share it. And that right there, that's what we rob from our Father. Sharing and caring and giving. Not to mention, one of what he tells us is one of his greatest loves, blessing those doing the sharing and caring and giving on his behalf. Which means when we rob our Father, we cheat ourselves. You know, Malachi goes on to say, cursed is the cheat. And I thought, okay, we're too much bashing. I want you to at least be able to walk out of here. It isn't like Malachi's robbers, you know, weren't giving anything. Mm-mm, they were giving. It's just, and this is kind of the point, they were offering their leftovers. And so, you know, those of you who remember the Route 66 videos, each book of the Bible, I looked up Malachi, and I forgot how much I really enjoyed this particular one. In our video on Malachi, that we put a sacrificial animal salesman in the back seat with Malachi in the front. And the guy's trying to pawn off a dead lamb, okay? A dead lamb for a sacrifice, claiming in this shot that it comes with a detachable ear when it happens to fall off. But it has a very sobering ending, because it's all funny and ha-ha. And then at the end, Malachi says to him, you don't understand. This is for a feast, for a party I'm throwing for my friends. And the embarrassed supplier says, final words in the video, oh, my apologies. I thought it was just for the Lord. But that's the message of Malachi. We thought it was just for the Lord. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. If I am a father, says the Lord, I mean, if I am a father, where's the honor due me? When you bring blind animals for sacrifice or crippled or diseased, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor, he says. And you know, we're told who their governor is. Anybody know who their governor was? I don't expect you to. It's just a little line in there. It's Nehemiah. Nehemiah, who wrote the Old Testament book titled Nehemiah. He was their governor. Would Nehemiah be pleased with you? No. You know how we know? Because he literally wrote the book on first fruits, saying in part, we obligate ourselves to bring the first fruits to the house of the Lord, and also the first of our dough, pizza or otherwise, and our contributions, everything, all of it. So honor the Lord your Father, says Proverbs. with your wealth, with the first fruits of all. And whatever you do, just don't give Jesus Christ just a crust. And Noah wanted me to title this Jesus Crust, and I said, I won't do it. It's true. Because he only asks for a slice. And even that's for your benefit and my benefit. Because our Father knows that our sharing conquers our greed. It increases our Christ-likeness by offering us a visible, tangible share in his invisible work. But if we only ever offer our leftover time or money or energy, then we will be withholders rather than shareholders. The Lord practically begs us to test him. We saw this just a couple weeks ago, to test him by setting aside a slice of life to honor him. And he says, you're going to keep 90% of what's actually his. Keep that for yourselves. Just test me by trusting me with the slice. He says, bring the whole tithe, the whole slice, the whole one-tenth into the storehouse and test me in this and see. You remember about opening the door, right? If you open the door, he'll come in. And will he come in a big way? See if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing in you, on you, over you, from you, through you, that you will not have room enough for it. You know, thanks to my mom and dad, I grew up practicing tithing since I can remember. Sunday school. We had that back in the 60s. We had these colorful envelopes. You know, anybody remember those? And you collect your coins during the week and then you take them to church. When I was older, I would go to the bank and deposit my paycheck. Anybody remember paychecks? And then I would deposit at the bank and I would take out my checkbook. Anybody under 30 know what a checkbook is? Brad, you're over 30. And I'd take out my checkbook and I would write my tithe check then and there and fold it and tuck it in my wallet because I knew me. I knew if I gave from what was left over, it would be pretty lame. Now, ever since we started automatic giving, Shar and I switched to automatic giving. That's how we do our tithing. That's how we do our missions offerings because, and please get the wonderful double entendre. It's great for offering stability. Yeah. Okay. Well, I just really enjoyed how good that sounded when I wrote it. And it secures our consistency. It just absolutely locks in our consistency, which fortifies our faithfulness. Especially when I am still, to this day, tempted to give my leftover dough. And now that you all live in the future, you can just scan a QR code to share. I just look in my lifetime how far, it's just weird. To me, growing up, that would have been the Jetsons. So, you can just scan the QR code to share our offering during worship. I've had so many people say, why do you take offering during worship? Get it? It's worship. It's worship. That's why we do that. And once we stop robbing, okay, now we know how to buy the bread. You just surrender everything. And now we know what we're robbing him with, how, and what we're robbing him of. Now that we know that, once we stop robbing him, we got to start lending to the Lord. This is one of my favorite things in the Bible. It's just so overlooked. Remember when the Lord spoke to Job out of the whirlwind? I love this picture. See, that guy's giving him some money. The Lord posed this riddle to Job. He said, and I always picture it as, you know, the great and mighty Oz. You know, who has given to me that I should repay? And what's the answer? And we all go, nobody, nobody. That's not the answer. Don't you say nobody, because I'll tell you right now, God is like, look it up. And you know, who lends to me that I should repay? It's in the book. Come on, kids, it's in the book. And it's in the book. Job was a bit befuddled by it, but wise old Solomon, he found it. He knew that whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay. Which is why I said in the pizza analogy that Jesus asks to borrow a slice, because he fully intends on paying it back with interest. Beep, beep, beep. That's the pizza truck. He's backing it up in heaven. So now you know how to lend to the Lord, right? So the next time someone's reading Romans at some stuffy study somewhere and you hear Paul say, oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? I expect every one of you to raise your hand and go, oh, I know this one. Whoever is generous to the poor. Therefore, Jesus said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You go, how? He said, well, simple. Luke 18:22, give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Don't you feel sorry for your sheep? Therefore, the generous soul will be made rich. Because whenever, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, he's going to repay. So we're done. Let's just agree to leave the leftovers behind, okay? And lend to the Lord. Test them in the right way for once. By sharing the wealth and caring for others in his honor by offering them a little slice of our bread of life. Okay? And let's pray, because it's tougher. It's easier said than done. Oh, Lord, we love you and we worship you. And we share and care for others to honor you. Holy Spirit, inspire us and empower us to trust you and test you by lending to you. And Lord Jesus, two things. Have whatever you want. And are you sure that's enough? And everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.